Welcome to week 15. I'm Kyle, the student of the game. To my right, Weasel and Chris, ready to bring you the near playoff action, but there were some occurrences that took place this week that were just as crucial as playoff games, and one of them, in this AFC edition of the week 15 show, was the Jags facing off against the Colts. Now, a little bit of context here. The Jags won the game in Jacksonville, holding true to Chris's rule in the study hall of you always pick the Jags at home. And the Jags were traveling to the Colts. If the Jags should win, they would pretty much have the division locked up and would have all the tiebreakers on the Colts. If the Colts win, they are fighting to stay alive. Should they win out, which the rest of their schedule is pretty easy, I think they only face the Titans and the Texans left. And it was a virtual, quote, virtual division win should the Colts be victorious, which they were, 34-24 over the Jags in the RCA Dome. Chris's rule holds true. Jags were away and they lost. Looking at the stat line, the quarterback play for both teams, certainly not bad at all, I would say. David Garrard of the Jags had 24 completions in 38 attempts, 63%, 294 yards, 2 touchdowns with an interception. Peyton Manning went 28 for 39 again, 2 weeks in a row, less than 50 attempts, less than 40 attempts for that matter. 74%, 229 yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. We're getting a follow of interceptions with him lately like we would Eli. It's a little strange. On the ground for the Jags, big stat here, Maurice Jones-Drew, the kid they call Mojo, arguable student of the game candidate 2 weeks ago, now 15 for 46 on the ground, 3.1 a carry. Rashad Jennings pulling some of the weight with 3 carries for 15 yards in zone. Another big stat, something you wouldn't have expected to see either, Donald Brown of the Colts, 14 carries, 129 yards, 9.2 a carry. We take out his long run of 49 yards. He still has 13 carries with 80 yards and 6.2 a carry. So an all-around solid, balanced performance. The same thing that got him over the Titans last week on the Thursday night game. Dominic Rose had also a few carries. Yes, I know, he's back. Weird. I like Chris and I. Didn't we see him playing for the Tuskers here in Florida?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you were there. So he was there playing for the Tuskers. I guess he was just trying to keep him straight so he can carry the ball 9 times for 26 yards, 2.9 a carry in this game. The leading receiver for the Jags was Rashad Jennings, who had 7 catches for 64 yards. Mercedes Lewis had an impact with 6 catches for 63 yards. Mike Thomas had 3 catches for 63 yards, did lose a fumble, however. And Michael Sims-Walker, I think arguably his best scoring day of the year, 4 catches, 42 yards, 2 touchdowns. Austin Colley returning from a stint on the injured list with a concussion, had 8 catches for 87 yards, 2 touchdowns, left the game early due to a concussion.
I think it's his third or fourth in the year.
It's at least his second, yeah.
I think it's his third, at least.
So, I mean, we don't really know what his status is going to be, but
he's playing one game, gets a concussion, he's out the next one. Then he plays a game, then he's out the next one. I mean, it's been the last, like, 6 weeks.
The reason I would take your approach, Weasel, is that he should be out for at least the rest of the season is look at the opponents. They are facing the Titans, who are a virtual dumpster fire, and the Texans, who have a weak defense secondary altogether. I think that would be good enough, but, you know, that's something that we'll leave to the doctors. But the next best performer in the air falls with the receiving yards. 5 catches for Pierre Garçon for 44 yards. But the very interesting occurrence in the game, the backbreaker, if it were, the Jags were in the game 24-27 at the time. Very little time left on the clock. So the Jags were forced to onside kick. So let loose was said onside kick. And then linebacker Tawan Hagler runs up, snags the short onside kick, not a hand laid on him, just runs right through the crowd, picks it up. Not really, more of a catch, really. It bounced off the ground.
Yeah, he scooped it up.
It was a bad kick.
There was no bounce on the kick. He just saw the ball, and he just saw it wasn't coming up, so he took off forward, and everybody was on the other side of the line. I mean, you got that new rule of you have to have 4 on the other side or something like that.
You can have no more than 4 on the side or something like that. I forget the exact
You can't have more than six on one side.
That's it. Thank you.
So there's four on the other side. There's six there. They're all lined up along the sideline because usually you hit the ball straight down to the ground. It bounces up in there.
Mm-hmm.
This one was like miskicked by Scobie.
Mm-hmm.
And the ball just kind of skimmed over there. Everyone's along the side. And he just took off. He was right on the hash. He just came in, grabbed it, and just took off for
the game break a touchdown. There was another controversial call by Jaguar head coach Jack Del Rio. He went for it on fourth down in his own territory. Not a big deal, but he did it during the third quarter. I think that's a little early, gentlemen.
Yeah, a little early.
Okay, and then the other big stat difference would be two turnovers by the Jags, zero by the Colts. So that will definitely put the Colts with a big lead up in the AFC South. The playoff picture looks murkier for a AFC South wild card. I don't think you're going to get one over there. So I think the Jags, should the Colts hold serve, will be eliminated. Not mathematically, of course. But speaking of teams who did pretty much mathematically eliminate themselves, we had to be Bills facing off against the Finns in Miami. Another rule that Chris has produced that he broke this week, unfortunately. Probably because I said, really? The Bills? Come on.
I said I wanted the Bills.
Well, the Bills would prevail, 17-14. The Finns, 1-6 at home so far.
They're the only team to go 6-1 on the road, 1-6 at home.
Yeah, that's confused, man. I don't even know what to make of that. And to be honest, you look at the numbers, quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick of the Bills went 16-26, 62%, 223 yards with two touchdowns and an interception. Chad Henne went 33-45, 72%, 276 yards, a touchdown and an interception. That's not a terrible stat line, but Chris, 45 times by Chad Henne?
And it should be running the ball 45 times.
There we go. The leading runner for the Bills was Fred Jackson, who carried the ball 15 times for 36 yards, about 2.4 a carry. And Ryan Fitzpatrick carried the ball three times himself for 19 yards and 6.3 a carry. What can Brown do for you? Well, Ronnie Brown could get 10 carries for 39 yards with 3.9 per carry and a touchdown. And I'm looking at that 3.9 a carry. Why did you abandon the run? The game was never why. It was never a big spread, and there was never a big difference in the score. Why did they abandon the run? I don't get it. anyways, looking at the receiver core, we've got Stevie Johnson, 6 catches for 69 yards.
All right.
With a touchdown. I guess God liked him this week. And tight end David Nelson had 3 catches for 61 yards of his own with a touchdown. Fumble by Brandon Marshall was the second turnover for the Finns on the day. He had 11 catches for 106 yards and a touchdown. And Devon Vest had 9 catches for 78 yards. But the big telling stat, you see that the offensive performance for the Finns wasn't really that bad. However, Dan Carpenter had four attempts to make the field goal and missed all four. Now, look, we've had long discussions about how the Dolphins cannot get in the end zone. And now Weasel is going to be worse than fifth place in his fantasy league because Carpenter couldn't finish it when the Dolphins couldn't finish it.
Deanne, I should have been a Carpenter.
Quite. Which brings me to my next point. Kyle, I should have been a bowler, not playing in the Raiders game. Moving on to the third game in the AFC package this week. I said package, how ironic, is referring to the Packers facing off against the Patriots. Now, going into this game, we were sure that Rodgers was not going to play because he had suffered a concussion in week 14, and which means they were going to Matt Flynn of LSU. And I gotta tell you, normally, and Weasel will tell you this because I bitch at him all the time about it, I am not a gimmick guy. I don't like gimmicks. Like this crap that the Saints pulled in the Super Bowl of starting off the second half with the onside kick, that ain't me. However, this desperate time, I think, called for a desperate measure. You're a team in the NFC who is in a desperate place to make a wild card, still fighting in the division, and not able to start with your starting quarterback. They came out and opened the game with an onside kick. And it looked to be a good omen. Until later on special teams, the Patriots have 300-pound left guard Dan Connolly return a kick return 71 yards to the 4-yard line.
Big man with football.
Big man with football. We were 4 yards away from having a fat guy spike and a fat guy dance, okay? And that canceling of the opening onside omen was the Patriots' victory, 31-27.
He looked like he was going to get tackled.
Oh, yeah.
On that, they're not even look like that. He thought he was going to get tackled, but he threw hands on the ball and covered up.
Yeah, for like the first around, 10 yards. Right.
He looks around and like, there's no one around me. Okay, I'll just keep running.
And then somebody came up to him and started to tackle him. He just bear clubs this poor bastard with a stiff arm. No, you will not tackle me. He got a great block. I didn't identify who it was, but he got a great block to help him up the field. And I was texting with my boss, who happens to be a Packers fan. I'm like, fattest kick return ever. And officially it is, because it is a record for an offensive lineman on the punt team. A lot of the injuries for the Patriots are on defense. Apparently that affects special teams as well, which leads us to fat men with football.
Yeah, I would have think you would turn and try to look for Brandon Tate coming walking next to you or something so you could pitch the ball to him so he could take it to the house.
In an unrelated story, there was a shortage of oxygen on the Patriot bench after said play. The reason why I opened talking about those two special teams plays is to alleviate any blame that anyone would try to put on Matt Flynn for the loss. Let's check his stat line. Well, let's do this, guys. A little bit of a pop quiz for you. Oh, no, I didn't get the study. I will give you the stat lines, and you tell me which stat line is better. Let's start there, okay? So I got 15 for 24, 63%, 163 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Everybody got that? Mm-hmm. Don't look at the sheet and cheat it.
Okay.
Okay, the other one is 24 for 37, okay, so more completions and attempts, a higher percentage, 65%, 251 yards, so it's about 89, 88 yards higher, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception, did lose a fumble, but that could be argued it was a fumble. According to the Packers fan himself, when I talked to him this morning, one perspective on it was that it was the O-line's fault. Whatever, we always get blamed. But, so you got 24 for 37, 251, 3 touchdowns, an interception, and a lost fumble, or 15 for 24, 163 with 2 touchdowns. What's the better line?
Well, I think I kind of know where that interception went. So the better line would be the 2 touchdown one.
Okay. But the fact that we have to think about it says something.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yes, Matt Flynn does own the interception and the lost fumble, and yes, Brady was turnover free. But again, We're talking about a guy who's a rookie, his first real start, against a guy who's argued to be one of the top two quarterbacks in the league.
And Green Bay has no running.
You really spoke out of turn on that because you're going to look real stupid in a second. Wow. But all we know for a fact here is we can say definitively Aaron Rodgers' presence did not decide this game. Letting a fat man run 71 yards on a kick return on special teams did. We'll get to that in a second. The ground game that Weasel mentioned, Brandon Jackson headed up for the Packers, 22 carries for 99 yards, 4.5 a carry. I'm going to get his first name wrong, so I'm going to look it up real quick. But also Flynn himself, Matt Flynn, went 3 carries for John Kuhn, is it? Okay, John Kuhn was 6 carries for 21 yards, 3.5 a carry. Thank you, Weasel. And Matt Flynn had 3 for 13, 4.3 carry himself. So, no run game might be comparatively true all year, but again, we are playing a more soft, in parentheses, Patriots defense here, right? Danny Wood had nine carries for 59 yards for the Patriots, about 6 yards a carry. And Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, the firm, 6 carries for 30 yards, 6.3 a carry. Big stat here, though. One of his carries was 33 yards. So we take that off. That's 5 carries for 5 yards, 1 yard per carry, no touchdowns. Big plays given up by the Packers getting to be a theme here. We got a fat man return. We got Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. Let's jump down to the passing stats. Aaron Hernandez, the rookie tight end, 4 catches, 31 yards, 2 touchdowns. Wes the Weapon Welker, 3 catches for 42 yards. However, big play touchdown. 35 yards. Not a touchdown, I'm sorry, just a big pass. Beg your pardon. 35 yards. Without that big play, he's 2 catches for 7 yards. That's 3 plays of 30 yards or more in a game where the Pats possessed it just more than 19 minutes in the game. Think those big plays might have been a factor. I'm just going to throw that out there. Matter of fact, production was dominated by the Packers offense, who went for 11 for 19 on third down, who had the ball 40 minutes and 48 seconds, gave up only 3 sacks to the Patriots 5. Actually, no, I got that backwards. They did give up 5 sacks, and one of them was to end the game and run the clock down because they ran out of time. But the point I'm getting to is 75 plays on offense versus the Patriots only going 40 plays on offense. Big plays were the answer here, gentlemen. I mean, Matt Flynn not at fault. We're just going to leave it at that. People are going to be like, oh, Brady was a hero. Not so much.
And that 71-yard kickoff return was right before the half.
That's right.
So, I mean, they scored with less than a minute left.
17, 14 minutes left. Yeah. But anyways, enough of that. Let's talk about other games that were a big deal in the AFC as we talk about the Jets facing off against the Steelers. Weasel, you have a homer interest here. Tell us what happened.
The Steelers were not able to secure a playoff berth this week as they lost at home to the Jets 22-17.
Actually, that's wrong. They did the calculation. They did secure a playoff spot.
Despite the loss, they managed to get in the playoff. That's correct.
Straight to skid.
Yeah, it's like five tiebreakers deep. I'm not blaming you for this. Yeah.
All right, then.
Yesterday they said no, but then this morning they came out with it. They secured it even with the loss.
Well, thank you for the update.
Yeah, no haterade there, Bo. Yeah. You gotta go 5 tiebreakers deep on that.
Yeah, it was way down.
That's what she said. Anyways.
Start off with special teams. Jets returner Brad Smith took the opening kickoff to the house, returning it 97 yards for a touchdown.
Again, that opening kickoff aspect.
Yep.
Same.
You know what? The Steelers special team wasn't there at all.
Nope.
I mean, a couple punts, they overran the returner. They're like, go down towards the goal line, their turn just sitting here catching the ball. He's already 10 more yards when the other two guys would pass them.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, the two gunners. I mean, it happened at least twice. That's all.
Well, they got down there so fast because they weren't obstructed. I guess they weren't used to it. See, it's funny because last week the guy tripped them. Anyway.
Big Ben Roethlisberger was 23 of 44, 52%, 264 yards, 1 touchdown, no INTs. He was sacked 3 times. In the running game, Rashard Mendenhall had 17 rushes for 100 yards, 5.9 average with a touchdown. Big Ben had 2 scrambles for 25 yards. Moody Moore and Isaac Redman combined had 5 for 14. In the receiving game, Mike Wallace had 7 catches for 102 yards. Now, it seems like his jersey was being pulled after it ran by Jets cornerbacks during the game, but no pass interference were called all throughout the game. Emmanuel Sanders had 7 for 78. Hines Ward had 2 for 34. Tight end Matt Spaeth had 3 for 27 with a touchdown. Rookie wide receiver Antonio Brown had 2 for 15. For the Jets, Mark Sanchez was 19 of 29, 65%, 170 yards, no touchdowns, no INTs. He was sacked once. In the running game, LaDainian Tomlinson had 11 rushes for 49 yards, 4.5 average. Sean Green had 12 for 40, 3.3 average. Sanchez had 3 for 15 with a touchdown. That touchdown was on a good call on a 4th and 1 at the Steelers' 7-yard line.
Yeah, actually, and I appreciate that you give that props. Through the homerism, this was a good call.
Yeah, if you didn't hand it off, the guy had first down anyway. Sean Green had first down.
Maybe.
No, he was past the first down marker they handed it to him.
But yeah, he faked the handoff and ran a bootleg. That's when you fake it and run, and he just walks into the end zone.
Yeah, he had a... I think it was like a tackle eligible out there on the left, and he just broke off. Raptor blocked. He just like did a little chip block, and he was off, and he was in front of him.
Sanchez,
but there's no one around, and everyone jumped in on that one.
Yeah. In the receiving game, Braylon Edwards had 8 catches for 100 yards. Santonio Holmes had 6 for 40. Tight end Dustin Keller had 3 for 19. Down by 3 with 2:45 left in the game, the Steelers were pinned at their own 3. First play, Monty Moore was stuffed in the end zone for a safety. Put the Jets up by 5. More on that later. Jets were then stopped on a 3-and-out, and Big Ben had the ball with 2:08 left for a chance to come back. Despite a big no-call on a pass interference when a Jets cornerback held Emmanuel Sanders on a deep pass, I think he saw his jersey being held, too.
Like, let's not just call this a big no-call. Look, folks, who was the corner again?
I believe it was Coleman. Cromartie.
Coleman.
It was Coleman?
Coleman?
Okay.
Coleman, okay.
Dude, Bennett, it was 6, period. Bennett would have gotten to the end zone. There was no safety over the top.
Sanders,
thank you. What did I say, Bennett? Anyway, Sanders would have gotten to the end zone without any question. There was no safety over the top. which is probably why
they held
him anyway. Yeah, he's like, oh god, I'm screwed.
They were in a 3-wide set. Sanders was in the middle,
mm-hmm.
and he just ran a straight down the middle. They had one guy run out, and the other guy ran kind of an in.
Yeah, the receivers, you mean?
The receivers, yeah, okay. Yeah. They had a 3-wide on one side. Like trips.
Okay.
All right. Cromartie went with the outside guy. Coleman had over the top, and he went outside as well, and here comes Sanders straight down the field with no one near him. That's when Coleman came running over and grabbed his jersey and stole him down.
Right, but I have a mixed emotion about this. I'm a little miffed at it because the refs obviously missed it and changed the outcome of the game very clearly. However, if I'm that defender, first and one, beats the heck out of touchdown, game virtually over.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it was first and six, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, 6 yards on it,
about. And the time would have been a little different because I think that was about like 30 seconds left or so. So the Steelers would have
stopped the clock. That's
a
an
lot
excellent
more
point.
Time to get 6 yards.
29 seconds left.
An excellent point, Weasel.
29 seconds.
So anyways, take us to the ref mat.
So the Steelers did drive the ball down to the 10-yard line with 2 seconds left, and they needed a touchdown. Now, the safety proved to be huge because they were unable to kick a field goal to tie it up
for overtime.
Now,
right.
Big Ben scrambled to the left, and he could not connect in the end zone to tight end Matt Spaeth, who dropped the pass earlier in the game.
Actually,
early in the drive.
I think that pass is supposed to be for someone else. They were crossing there.
Uh-huh, I saw another receiver there, too.
Roethlisberger looked like he was zoned in on one of the receivers. And here comes Spaeth out of nowhere to come up, and he couldn't hold on.
He was in the back of the end zone.
Right, but there was a guy that was behind him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Further back there, he cut through, and that's what looked like Roethlisberger was going to hit.
Okay.
And here comes Spaeth right in between, and it was like...
Well, not for nothing. Like, I mean, they were both right at the back of the end zone.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the other guy had... 2-3 steps on Jets corner, so we're safe.
But let me ask you this. Well, and go ahead and finish it out, too. I don't know if you... Go ahead and finish your piece, and let me ask my question.
That's
okay.
It.
So, there's this one in the back of the end zone. Then there's another one that's more kind of in the corner. Same side of the end zone, but again, both for Spaeth. My view, both Spaeth drops. What do you guys think?
Well, I thought the second one, even if he caught it, he would have done
it. The second one, he's out of bounds. That would have been a throw.
Yeah. Okay.
First one was, like I said, I don't think it was for him. I think it was for behind board.
I still think he could have had it, though.
He could have had it. He should have had it. But I was thinking it was for one of the other receivers.
So let's get this straight, though, then. We got that pass interference, and they drop touchdown pass. I think it's things like this, and not that this is my opinion, but I think it's things like this that give the Jets a bad, persona of sorts, like, oh, that team that talks too much, and then they limp by. You know, forget about the fact that they're in one of the toughest divisions in the league, and forget about the fact that they're one of the best-looking teams for the playoffs right now.
But, on that note, I mean, officiating is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I was saying it, I said it before the show.
Yeah.
First half, officials are for Steelers. Here's what I want to explain right here. On the Pittsburgh 96-yard drive.
Okay.
They had, Mendenhall had a 8.5 yard run. The chain was locked up on the side. It wasn't all the way first down marker. They had the first down marker down, the one that goes on the yard line,
right. Was
down. He was a yard and a half short. They gave him a first down.
Oh,
he
wow.
He was a yard and a half short.
Yeah,
it was on the 96 yard drive.
And yeah, this piece on the ground you're talking about is that little orange arrow.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he should have been, he was supposed to be to the 35. He got to the 37, just past the 37.
Mm-hmm.
So he should, you know, and this is in Jets territory. Okay. Next play, incomplete pass to Mendenhall. So the TV showed 2nd and 1. You know, the down marker said first down on it.
Wow. Okay?
Because the announcers are going, I don't know why he was doing it. He was looking out there. The guy doesn't even have the first down marker standing straight up. He's kind of like trying to pull on it.
Yeah.
And the head ref comes over and marks first down because he's looking at the thing. He's not looking down at the
Oh, boy. That's some Keystone Cop stuff there.
Right. All right. So that was 2nd and 1. Third down, which would have been 3rd down, but now it's 2nd.
Right.
Roethlisberger gets sacked.
Oh,
8 yard loss.
So that should have been a bunt.
So 4th down, you're back at the... It should be 30... It's at the 37, so it should be back to the 8 yard sack at 45. At field goal range, should be at 20. It would be 4th and 18, or 4th and 9, sorry,
mm-hmm.
the 8 yard loss. 4th and 9, they did have to punt. But it was third down and 18, and they got an 18-yard pass.
Wow. Kind of a big deal.
And they went down and scored a touchdown.
Huh.
That's one. Interesting stat you didn't cover, though. Third downs. Both. I don't know what the Jets were, but I looked at the Steelers. 11 for 17 on third down.
That's pretty good.
That's awesome. Okay. That's 63%. The Jets were pretty high, too. I think they were 40, 50% themselves.
All right. Okay. But listen to this. Okay, that 96-yard drive I was talking about. There was a third down and 10, 12-yard pass. This is all third down stat. Third down, I looked it up because I'm just watching the game, and I'm like, where is the Jets defense coming? Then they had a third and 2, 13-yard pass. They had a 13 and 18, I just said, that should have been on fourth down, 18-yard pass. They had a third and 4, was a touchdown. Was on that drive.
Yeah.
And then the last drive of the game, they had a third and 24.
Yes.
A 29-yard pass. They had a third and 10, an 18-yard catch. And they had 29 seconds left is when the pass interference was.
Right.
And then after that, it was a third and 10, they got a 16-yard catch.
So that's, what is it I'm counting there, about seven third down conversions?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 I had. But
7 third down conversions out of 11 they made in the whole game.
5 were third and 10 or higher.
That's an amazing stat.
So 7 out of the 11 came out of those two drives.
You know, and I'm looking it up here too, 46%. Really, I mean, look, not for nothing, Big Ben is good on third down, but he shouldn't be that good. I mean, 3rd and 24? That's like Packers Eagles bad, like way back in the game. Yeah.
So what's bad is was the Jets were only rushing 3, couldn't get pressure on them, and the corners are covered. I mean, Roethlisberger just rolls out because he's got all day in the world, rolls out, and the corners come back, and that's where he's been connecting on them.
You know, but for what it's worth, give Sanchez credit. 6 for 13 against the Steelers is pretty nice.
Yeah.
Without Troy Polamalu.
Which brings me to my next point.
Without Polamalu.
Which brings it out is with those stats is how much the Steelers miss Troy Polamalu, but also the Jets miss Jim Leonard.
Yes.
Because up the middle the last couple games has not been there since he broke his leg.
And let me ask you this, because here we got Sanchez. He threw the ball 29 times. It's practically 30. 170. No touchdowns, no interceptions. Has a touchdown on the ground. So, did we get another flip-flop from you on this weasel? Is he the Sanchez again?
Well, he's all right. He's going to... I'm going to take him to the playoffs to call him the Sanchez.
You mean for the second time?
Yes.
Okay, so you're just a homer this week. You're not a homer and a flip-flop.
See, what's funny, though, is this is supposed to be a battle of, like, number one defense versus number two defense.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever.
Yeah, and there was big offense.
Steelers number one and number two, and neither defense showed up.
Well, and both are without their team captains.
Right. So, but, you know, it's just one of those things of how valuable those two players are each of the team.
Well, yeah. Steelers defense gave up one touchdown.
Right.
But,
so,
saying that's not showing up, it's like,
But the officials helped out with the Pittsburgh touchdown.
Talking about defenses not showing up, how can you say a defense? It's hard. I see where Weasel's going, and another thing I'm going to point out, not to get on your case, but a defense that didn't show up but just happened to get a safety too.
Right. I'm just saying with those. I'm just saying not with them really showing up. It's just their presence. They are, because a lot of these third down conversions for both teams.
Yeah.
Were over the middle where these two players would be.
That's an excellent point.
What it is. More of a presence, not really showing up. It's more of a presence, but. I was saying before, it's supposed to be battle of defense, but it wasn't as of a defensive battle as you would think it would be.
Battle of defenses, kinda.
Yeah.
So speaking of that, we're kinda over for the week. The AFC edition at least is done. Go ahead.
Sorry, one more thing. In that game, no turnovers at all.
You're absolutely right.
And that's not the only one of the week.
That's right. Look at that. He's becoming a marketeer yet, folks. Speaking of marketeering, why don't you check out our website, www.thestoonofgame.com. Feel free to leave a comment. Subscribe to the podcast. You can get an email whenever there's an update with articles or podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at the SOTG. You can email us at SOTG at thesotg@gmail.com. Almost got it again, wrong again for the second week in a row. And then you can also subscribe to us on iTunes. With that, we will see you for the NFC edition very shortly.